Well, thank you, Bridget, and thank you for the rest of you for getting up at 8 in the morning, especially those who aren't presenters, to come listen to all of our talks, actually. And I also want to thank my co-authors, Alyssa De Vincentis, who is a student of mine. She's actually heading very soon to UC Davis, Andrew Kozer, A.J. Both, Sarah Lovell, and Ryan Stewart. So to give you some background of why we're looking at the cost of the containers, as I'm sure all of you know here, greenhouse production systems are high input systems, and they use large quantities of all kinds of inputs: water, fertilizer, chemicals, energy, electricity, labor, and plastics. And plastics, specifically pots, trays, and flats, are petroleum-based inputs, and then we have disposal issues, and as you know, consumers are more and more interested in sustainable. Agriculture plastic rates have a lower amount of recycling than other plastics because of their contamination and photo degradation, so it's below the national average of 8%. Sustainable pots, or alternative pots, we're calling them, recyclable and biodegradable, with similar performance to plastic, are available, but they're not widely used at competitive prices. So our question is, does the benefit to the environment outweigh the cost? Our team of researchers, which was actually funded by a Specialty Crops grant, found that looking at the carbon footprint, plastic pots account for 18% of the carbon footprint based on the life cycle analysis. So we took the direct cost from this study and extrapolated that to look at how does the cost compare. So you see, let's see if I can figure out how to, there we go. Okay, so this column looks at the percentage of contribution to the global warming potential. Sorry. So in our study of the global warming potential, we found that the biggest factor was electricity, because they were using high-pressure sodium lights in the research greenhouses. And in terms of the final product, the plug had the biggest impact on the global warming potential. When we take that to the direct cost, the situation changes. The electricity only becomes 8.2%, and the tray, the plastic tray, becomes 68% in the plug phase. Then in the final phase, our biggest factor is the container again, and the shuttle tray that the container goes into. And the red are what we added to the from the new information from the global warming, the life cycle analysis study. So again, looking at the plug stage, just comparing the percent contribution to the global warming potential compared to the direct cost, electricity was, you know, a big impact on global warming potential, not so much on the cost. So this comparison there. We also used waste wood to heat the research greenhouses, which is not too common in most of the production facilities, but the percent contribution to cost then goes up compared to the global warming potential. And then, as I said, the tray ends up being the biggest cost, but not so big in the global warming potential. In terms of the final stage of production, the plug has the highest impact here on the global warming potential, but the container has the highest impact on cost. Other factors are fertilizers and the shuttle tray in terms of cost. So there is some differences here. And I already mentioned the lighting, 99% in terms of kilowatt hours goes to lighting versus irrigation. And as you know, a lot of the commercial greenhouses don't use commercial lighting at all, so that's probably one way to reduce the carbon footprint, is just don't use the lights. One problem that we're having in looking at some of the economic analysis is that there was a plethora of all these different alternative pots a few years ago, but I think because of the price and because of there's so many, sales weren't high, so several of them are no longer on the market. If we look at the percent contribution to direct costs for the different pots, we look at plastic as the standard. Wood fiber is the highest, and straw is no longer on the market, so we still haven't found a price for that. But for instance, bioplastic sleeves looks like a very good alternative, but they're no longer available either. What has come on the market since we did our study is something called recycled reground plastic. That wasn't part of the initial growing study, but that looks like it may be a good alternative because it's basically recycled plastic. It's actually less expensive to the producer than plastic, so it would be very easy for the producers to adopt that. If we look at the total cost, comparing that to the global warming potential, we've got our plastic over here as the base, and so you see there's not a whole lot of difference in the global warming potential of the different alternatives, but there's a much bigger difference, the dark blue line, in terms of the cost. And so you see the reground plastic, which we can't compare the global warming potential because we didn't have that available for the study, looks like a very attractive alternative. Some other good alternatives that are still available are these on the right-hand side. The ones on the left, unfortunately, are not available in the marketplace any longer. So in terms of our conclusion, the elevated direct cost of inputs do not really reflect their impact on the environment, as you can see by the comparison for the price versus the global warming potential. Half of the inputs have a higher global warming potential and half have a higher cost. Electricity cost is only 8% of the direct cost, but 95% of the global warming potential. And as I said before, the bioplastic pots could be a really good alternative, but they're no longer available. They also have one of the lowest water demands as observed from the previous research, which could be important to growers because water is becoming a serious issue, as you know, from the drought in California. So perhaps the manufacturers might want to reconsider and bring those back on the market. Peat pots look like the second best alternative in terms of low cost and global warming potential if you combine those two, followed by core and slotted rice pots, which are more costly than plastic, contribute less to the global warming potential. the only alternative pot that comes to close to the 16% contribution of the global warming potential is the pot that we did not evaluate because it wasn't made during the research, that reground plastic. But this might, again, be where the growers are going. Some other things that we want to mention is that we only looked at the direct cost. We didn't include the investment cost, which could change the results for some of the growers. Like I said before, there were several alternative containers available in the past, but because the initial sales were slow, they've all been removed from the market. So the reground plastic pots could be a cost-effective alternative, but we didn't look at the growth in terms of plant growth potential in these pots, but we would expect it would probably be similar to the traditional plastic. We'd like to thank Griffin Greenhouse Supply, Summit Plastic, and BFG for providing pots to us for the study and information, and we will be putting more information up on the Rutgers Farm Management website about this study. Thank you. I'm not sure how we are on time.
Okay.
What is the reground container,
that's it's just recycled plastic that's now available on the market.
Who's manufacturing that?
I don't know. I got it from all these suppliers are selling it, but I can go back. I think maybe Summit Plastic, but I'm not sure.
And we have a big facility in Michigan that is regrinding a lot of those containers.
Well, Rutgers Supply, I think one of them bought the other one from the Summit. Standard nursery containers,
50% recycled. Oh, okay. So it's sort of like I've seen in other studies, the traditional and the sort of middle of the road is becoming more of the same, I think is what you're saying, which I've seen in outdoor vegetable production, probably the same thing is going to happen with greenhouse production.
I wonder if it's 100% recycled. It is for a 4-inch container or 6-inch container?
These were 4-inch containers. That's a good point. I'll look further into that because, you know, in asking for prices, what's the current price of all these other containers? This is the one they kept pointing us to, and a lot of the others, unfortunately, aren't on the market anymore. That's what they called it, yeah. Okay, we're getting more people for the last talk. Hi. Yep.
How do you calculate
the global warming potential? Andrew did that, so I'm a little bit out of my element there, but he used the life cycle analysis. Dwayne could probably answer that better than I can because that's more your area of expertise, right? It's how much carbon it's contributing to the atmosphere.
It's basically accounting for all the carbon inputs or the emissions that come from putting those products and processes in. So it's a step-by-step progression. Andrew used a software called Semapro.
Okay. Why were the alternatives not better than the standard?
Because the other costs going into production outweighed the container itself. You know, there's lots of other factors, the greenhouse heating, the electricity, those were so much bigger. And electricity was 98% of it, so the pot becomes very insignificant in the total picture.
Most of the core comes from international sources, like the transportation, what the carbon footprint would be of the transportation. Maybe you require a unique processing to warm it that involves heat. So sometimes there's not a lot of difference.
Other questions for Robin? All right, let's give her a nice hand.
Thank you.